Thank you, Mark. Stephanie, I'm not going to object to this like I did the last time, but I know there were some issues with communications and getting this budget together, and I know you guys were working on it up until the last minute, including today. So I'm not going to say anything. Please just go ahead and do your presentation, and then we'll ask questions of Mark and you. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things to take into consideration with the archives and with the budget is that, as Mark was saying, there has been a substantial decrease in the amount of central service payments that have been given to the archives over the years. And the only station, as he said, that is doing that on a regular basis is KPFA, and that's because they have it on auto deduction. So they have it just on auto pay every month to send money over to the archives. And we're well aware of the fact that the archives needs to have kind of a new business model in general that can generate income, since we're not able to rely strictly on central services. And then particularly since there's the idea of, you know, as we were talking earlier about changing the money that is the revenue that is charged against for central services, that will in turn, again, also affect this budget as well. So over the past year, if not more, Mark and I have really been having a lot of discussions about what to do with the archives moving forward to make sure that it generates income. And I know that it's been a concern of many for quite a long time. And until we have a good grasp of what we have in the archives, and, you know, again, I've talked about this many times before, we have a good catalog of what we own, what we don't own, what's in good shape, what's in not good shape, and then we can prioritize what needs to be digitized and then be able to have a medium where those digitized materials can be easily accessible to those people that want to license them or use them, such as, you know, local colleges, which Mark has a lot of good relationships with, that want to use various programs that we have and things that are digitized already for their curriculum, as well as the relationship with LAUSD and breaking down what they can get. Until we have that mechanism where the digitization of the items that are viable and can make money are in a platform that they can be easily accessible, we can't really quite look at an easy way to monetize. So one of the priorities that we have in place is to be able to finish the website that Mark had started a good 5 or 6 years ago, that would hold the library of digitized materials that would make it easily accessible. So the person that was originally building that was doing it pretty much as a favor, and he has a full-time job elsewhere. And so we, you know, Mark's been able to maintain a relationship with him to keep that website in the forefront, but his real life and real work has kind of taken over where we don't have the funds, and he hasn't had the time in order for us to finish that website. So we are prioritizing getting that website done so we can then start working on what we need to do to get the materials that are of the best interest digitized, and then moving forward with that. Because as I stated before, we also have individuals that are looking to purchase the building at KPFK, that where KPFK and the national office and the archives are housed, is being able to work with us for a very substantial fund drive that would focus on digitization of our archival materials, because they are really quite interested in that and want to make sure that the archives succeed. Another thing that we've talked about that you'll see in this budget as well is getting underwriting and sponsorships for programming, and bringing back an archive-based hour of programming to every station. I know that has existed in the past. There's quite a few hours of that program that already exists, but it hasn't really been able to. Some stations have carried it. Some stations have dropped it. It hasn't really been a priority. So I do want to be able to at least get the support of the local stations that will be willing to host yet once again an archive hour, at least once a week, where we can really highlight the programming that we have, and then also be able to turn that into national programming, and then be able to get some underwriting and sponsorships for that programming. So basically, in a nutshell, for the listeners' support with that we've proposed, it's very, again, conservative based upon numbers that the archives provided, based upon the most recent consolidated financials that we have. The last consolidated financials that we had with listener support was, there were roughly $50,000. So raising this up to a proposed $65,000, I think is a conservative increase for that, since they have made even more than that in other years prior. We did add that line item of underwriting and sponsorships of $15,000, really so we can focus on getting that national programming out there. The total amount of central service revenue from the stations, if they were to put in the 5% of listener support, that does not include grant dollars. It does include individual donors, though, would be $350,498. But again, that will change because if stations can't pay the 15% to the national office and can only give 8% if they're a struggling station, will that then also affect the 5% that would be given to the archives? Would that drop that down to 2.5%? So that would decrease that substantially, which is, again, to try to look at other sources of revenue. We have roughly premium sales through the Pacifica network at $10,000, and then premium sales that are non-Pacifica at $25,000. We have individual donations at around $10,000. I think that we could probably increase that as well, just as we focus on, again, what we have, prioritizing the programs that we have, digitizing them, making them greater accessible, and really promoting the historical significance of the materials that we have, and not just the historical significance in the Pacifica world, but the historical significance within the broadcasting world as well. And I think that too can segue into a greater increase of grant income. The year to date, the archives has received about $25,000, give or take, in grants. And that really hasn't been, it's been an effort, but not a huge effort where I think we can reach out even more, because we've kind of been having to share the Pacifica financials in general when we start looking at grants. But Mark has done a great job kind of reaching out to different foundations and individuals to talk about what the archives has done and what we hope. So the total revenue is fairly high at $525,498, but that too will be adjusted based upon the central service formula, if that's changed, and then also if individual stations can't afford central services, will that, as I said, that, cut down to 2.5%. The personnel costs, as Mark said, they have cut back, that's $190,000. The taxes, $17,000, 403B contributions at $7,500. And health benefits at $52,000. And again, those health benefits have been increased approximately about, I think it's 13%. We were informed that they were being increased for this upcoming year. And we don't really have a lot of control over that. So the total personnel costs are $266,500. As far as admitted, there are no board expenses, PNB expenses, LSB, your elections expenses. So that section is blank. As far as administrative expenses, we have approximately $300 for telephone, $2,000 for internet cable connection. And again, that may change slightly based upon, moving back into the building once it's renovated. Postage and delivery is $1,800. We have bank charges at $500, office expenses at $200, rent and leasing of equipment at $1,200, and storage rental at $3,200. And that's been increased slightly because of the move. We'll have to, find additional space to put the tapes that are currently in the building. We are also having conversations with some other places that may be willing to store some of those tapes. And we also want to make sure that the tapes that we currently have in storage, again, that's where we need to go in there and really take a good inventory as to what we have, and making sure that we're not paying for storage for tapes that we don't own or that aren't in great condition. So we, again, we need to catalog pretty much everything that we have. So we're looking at this year and a half of building renovation to get a better grasp on what we own. But I'm still keeping that storage rental space of, increasing it to $32,000. General repairs and maintenance, $1,500. Computer maintenance, $1,200. And then other admin, $1,550, for a total admin expense of $42,250. The website, I have increased that up to $25,000 because we do, as I said, want to get that website updated. And hopefully the person that has built it in the past will be able to work with us or at least recommend somebody at a reasonable price that can build that because it was started a few years ago. It obviously will need to be updated. But again, that's kind of our ability to get what we need out there to the people that want it right now, you know, LAUSD and different colleges where Mark has categorized different programs to fit into their curriculum. We just need to be able to make it easily accessible. Roughly $5,000 in tapes and supplies, so we have a programming expense of $30,000. Different development expenses, credit card discount fees, $3,200. That should drop substantially with the move over to Bank of America. Printing, marketing, and promo, $800. Premium shipping and packaging, $1,800. But again, if we digitize everything and a lot of our premiums can just be downloaded straight from the website, we won't need to do a lot of recording and mailing of things out. And then fund drive expenses of $2,900 for a total development of $8,760. So the total revenue, which includes, you know, again, those central services, which it can change and drop, is $525,498 with the total expenses of $347,450, which brings an income of $178,048, which is what we want to see. But again, very much like the national office, this budget is really dependent upon that central service fee and then what can be adjusted if those central services aren't paid, which we then have to focus on, you know, as I said, bringing in grants, bringing in revenue from outside sources, which means getting a better grasp of what we have, digitizing what's important, and making that digitization accessible through the website. So although this budget, you know, does show a positive, if central service payments aren't made, it will not be in the positive. If we don't prioritize what to do with the tapes that we have in order to make income from them.
Are you done, Stephanie? Stephanie, were you finished?
Yeah.
Hold on, everybody. I've got myself. I'm going to ask a question first. Then I heard McFadden, Kim, Beth. Anyone else? Who else?
Teresa.
Let's just start there. Teresa, okay, gotcha. Let's start there. Stephanie, I want to ask you first, is the hour of programming from the archives that you were referring to, is that what we know as from the vault? Maybe that's a question for Mark.
Yes, there's from the vault, and there's another program as well, Voices of Pacifica. I believe it was produced prior to his time as the director.
Is that Voices That Changed the World or Voices of Pacifica? What was that?
The first program that I produced started in 95. I think it went from 95 to 2000, was a one-hour show called Voices of Pacifica. And that basically did what From the Vault did. And then when that ended and Brian DeShazer became director, he stopped the Voices of Pacifica and started From the Vault. And that's what is mostly up on AudioPort these days, to the tune of about 500 hours of shows.
Got it. Thank you.
Hello?
James, are you muted?
You're muted.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I was calling McFadden and he wasn't responding. It was me. Go ahead, McFadden. Sorry.
So I have a just
a little series of questions about digitization. First of all, the personnel costs, how much of their time is going into the digitization effort?
Well, we have
just
two...
a percentage, you know, rough percentage is what I'm really interested in.
Oh, I would say 50%. Okay. We only have four staff members, by the way. We have four staff members, and the digitization is split between Edgar, Toledo, and myself.
Okay, and what fraction of the tapes have been digitized in the last year?
We've probably digitized close to 2,000 tapes. We do about 2,000 tapes a year. What am I talking about? 2,000 tapes a year. We have in total 20,000 tapes digitized, and I've been working with various universities, and one in particular where we would expedite the whole digitization process if we can come up with an amount of money that, they would start digitizing 24/7, 8-hour shifts, and they would have the whole collection, the remaining 50,000 digitized by the end of 2025.
Okay, 50,000 to go, so it would take another 25 years at our current rate.
We're planning on expediting that, as I said. When we partner with the Shoah Foundation and USC, they can do the 50,000 in 2 years.
That'd be great. And of those digitized tapes, what's the media that they're going on to? Is that all flash drive?
No, they're going on to hard drives. If we get it done with the Shoah, it will immediately go onto their supercomputer, which will have a diamond copy with their partner school at the South Carolina University. So it'll have two master copies, in LA and one in South Carolina.
Yeah, they have a mirror site, right? That's how you normally do that. But I assume it's still going to be all flash drive type stuff, almost all hard disk.
No. If it's on the supercomputer as a master copy, we at the Pacifica Radio Archives will have them on professional hard drives. We currently have 20 terabytes of hard drive space in the archives currently, and we would need to expand that to, close to a billion terabytes, which the hard drives right now are somewhere between 10 to 20 terabytes per drive. So they're getting more efficient and they're getting more affordable as time goes on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And is there any, that's a lot of data there. Is there any, along the way, is there any effort to just say, okay, this is dead air, not important or something like that? Is there any, or are you just digitizing everything and you're not looking at, quality or pertinence or anything like that?
Well, I mean, at the 20,000 that we have digitized, we have selected based on what we feel is its importance. A lot of it is with the 1950s and 1960s civil rights movement and a lot of the movements that came up in that time frame. But I would say about 15 to 20% is also from interested parties of either other radio stations, Pacifica stations, listeners, and people who would like to license our materials, where we have located a particular tape and decided to digitize it as a result of a project that was called upon. But many of these tapes are basically from the golden era of Pacifica before NPR started.
Great. Okay, one last question.
This is a real quick one.
Along with all the digitization, do you have a database that now that's going to so it has some kind of easy way to figure out, you know, what tape is dealing with what subject and stuff like that? You created a database.
Yeah, we do have a database. Once we started marketing to the history department at Cal State Los Angeles, and once we got into three history classrooms, we decided to divide what we had digitized into scholastic categories. So we have the tapes that we have digitized on a spreadsheet under academic categories like women's history, poetry, African American history, Native American history, et cetera. So we have these scholastic catalogs so that when we start marketing and expanding to various schools and school districts, the administrators and teachers will be able to find appropriate programs based on what educational subject that they will be focusing on in a class or at their school.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. Kim, I just want to tell everybody it's now about 5 minutes to 11, so we're going to have to interrupt and see if we can do one more extension. I don't think it'll be a half an hour, maybe 15 minutes, but that way the archives will have the 45 minutes that were originally scheduled. Go ahead, Kim.
First of all, I would recommend, I don't know how you can do this, but instead of just calling it From the Vault, I would recommend on AudioPort and whatever, you know, way you can do this, is it be called From the Pacifica Vault. I mean, I think that, you know, to people who might not know, From the Vault is nothing. But From the Pacifica Vault would brand it as, you know, an important identifier. That's just a suggestion.
I agree with you 100%. I thought my title, Voices of Pacifica, was perfect for that type of branding, but I was overruled by the then director, Brian Schaefer.
I understand.
I wasn't the boss back then.
I understand. But I'm saying from now, you know,
yeah,
if we can, you know, somehow fix that, it's a good fix.
Sure.
How much did the fund drive in November make?
We made about $20,000.
Okay. All right, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kim. Let's take a break for a moment.
Can I,
Mark,
wait, can I say one more thing? I can guarantee you KPFK is not going to be able to pay central services. So put that in the mix. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim. I want to ask now, could we get one more extension for 15 minutes to try and wrap this up? Is there any objection to extending for 15 minutes beyond 11 o'clock?
Is the motion to go to 11:15?
Yes. Thank you, Paul. That's the motion. Hearing no objection, I'm going to call that done. And go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. First, just on a note of personal privilege, my phone is running out of juice, and I don't have any place to plug in at the moment. So I'm hoping we can move to a vote on this sooner rather than later. but I do have questions. Given that, well, I guess let's start with the more practical ones. So, Mark, I'm a director from KPFK. I'm local. And I'm concerned about the location of the archives, all the tapes that we're storing now. I understand something like 80% are and have been in storage. And I'm wondering where in the LA area is that located?
Okay, I am also concerned about where our landing spot is. We have a short window to figure it out. I've been speaking to universities, and probably our best shot at inexpensive or free space is going to be with the George Lucas Museum. And I'm in talks with them right now to try and make this happen. But I would say 25% is at the archives currently, and 75% is off-site. They're in storage lockers in Van Nuys and very close to KPFK on Vineland, so just around the corner. We have full access to them, but, you know, with this move now and with the limited space that we'll have upon our return, I'm going to try and, you know, get these tapes out of storage and up onto racks that we can see at a location that is not going to cost us money, as especially as revenue is tougher and tougher these days. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, and further along the same line, I was pretty alarmed to learn, I think it was just earlier this year, that there's something like 80% of the recordings that we have had in storage to date were not actually in climate controlled conditions. And I'm wondering if you can shed some light on that. It's not clear to me whether that was the plan all along, or whether we had rented a facility that did have climate control and it broke, or we just didn't pay the bill, or what happened, and has that been remedied? When did we find out that it wasn't climate controlled, and how did we find out?
It's really only been a matter of finances and some other things. The institutional history of Pacifica, you know, you have to look back to the late 1980s, just before I arrived at Pacifica. In one of the previous financial crises, the National Board voted to sell the Pacifica Radio Archives building on Venice Boulevard in Los Angeles. We had about 10,000 square feet of space. We had all of our tapes in temperature and humidity controlled environment. And there was some financial trouble at our New York station, WBAI, at the time. And the National Board voted to sell our building. That sale of our Pacifica Radio Archives building paid for a financial debt at WBAI, and it also, the remaining money was used to pay off the mortgage at the KPFK building, so that the KPFK building would be fully owned. In exchange for selling our building and losing our space that housed our entire collection, they gave us a small amount of space on the second floor of KPFK and a small storage space. So the tapes that we could fit went into the KPFK building, and the ones that could not went into offsite storage. So that is the basic history of how the archives went from being in perfectly good environmental conditions to what we now currently have. Now the tapes aren't in horrible conditions right now. The storage facilities are both underground, and they're not susceptible to, while they're not perfectly climate controlled like we have in our archive in the KPFK building, it is air conditioned, and so the temperature never gets truly horrible. The main thing that damages tapes is fluctuation of temperature going from hot to cold. And that doesn't happen because there's air conditioning in these buildings. So at least there's not a great fluctuation in temperature change. But that's really the history of how the archives got separated from being under our control and having to go into offsite storage.
Okay. I'd like just to, before I wind up, I'd just like to state for the record, quite honestly, it's not clear to me why decades into this endeavor, Pacifica doesn't have, at a bare minimum, an inventory of what we have in our possession. I mean, we've been doing this for decades now, and I can't imagine an explanation for that. Thank you.
Okay, well, the explanation is very simple, and it's just money. If we had a larger staff, and we have had larger staffs at the archives, this is the smallest we've ever been. We've had, at one point, we had three master's degreed in library science personnel working at the archives, but most of the time was working on grant projects, and that had to do with the tapes that we were working on and did not provide money to go into offsite storage and start cataloging. So it's just really a matter of money. Pacifica has never been flush with a lot of money. And if we were, I would have a team of people going out who were trained properly. And, we would do that type of work. But in this move, we're going to have the opportunity to go through, and I'm hoping to get a team of students to help us who are familiar with, archiving to help us catalog what we do have. And solve that problem.
Thank you, Mark. Let's go to Teresa, and I'm going to put myself on the stack briefly after that to see how we're going to go ahead and conclude tonight. Go ahead, Teresa.
I have four employees. Can you tell me what their titles are? So you're the director.
Our four staff members are... Mm-hmm. Myself as the director. Mm-hmm. We have Sean Dellis, and he is the office administrator. He's the front line of answering phones, processing orders, billing credit mm-hmm. cards and PayPal, other office duties, putting together packages for our affiliates and stations. Mariana Berkovich is our business manager, makes sure that our money is accounted for up to the penny every year. And Edgar Toledo, he's our production manager, and he does the lion's share of production for fund drives, tape transfers, and fulfilling special orders for larger projects.
So are these four people all full-time?
Yes. Well, we're all now three-quarter time.
Three-quarter time. And are all these people, they're three-quarter time, is it all 100% given to the archives, or are any of these in some way employees of KPFK or providing services to KPFK?
For the three-quarter time, it's all Pacifica Radio Archives. Mariana Berkovich at times does some book work for KPFK, but that's a very small percentage.
Okay, so how many of the five stations are submitting things currently to the archives. Like I've always said, you know, there was a wonderful show, there was an interview on it. This was about 20 years ago that I heard, and it was about Tulia, Texas, and how someone had some corrupt policeman was arresting and planting things on poor people and claiming that they were dealing in drugs, and got, you know, maybe 50 or more people into prison in Tulia, and then he was caught. And
wow.
I tried to retrieve that because it was really interesting coverage about a real place. I mean, those people ended up owning the town after they sued. But, you know, where is it? Couldn't find it. Don't know where to look for it. I remember driving down the road and listening to it. So my question is, of the five stations, how much of things that are on their airwaves ever, at this point in time, ends up on your airway, ends up in the archives, so they could
well,
be indexed and retrieved?
Yeah, fortunately, we've been digitizing 24/7 on all of our stations starting about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the material exists. It's not archived. You know, we would love to get a grant to go move forward and archive that, but at least we have it.
So when you say it's archived, you mean nobody when
it's,
they
it's recorded. It's recorded. It's recorded, but it's not
not indexed in any way.
Yeah, it's not indexed in any way. So,
so if for example, somebody in Houston ended up as president of the United States, and we had them at various times in our, you know, on different shows prior to that person becoming president, we have no way to retrieve that because it's not indexed in any way.
That's right. Not easily. We would have to, you know, be told like date and time of interview, that sort of thing. But, you know, interestingly, from, you know, 1949 to, you know, whenever tapes stopped being used in the early 2000s, collections end up coming to our doorstep when family members find these collections. The most recent collection that I found truly valuable was, I don't know if people know this, but the number one revenue stream before there was marathon fund drives. That was only invented in the late 60s, but the main revenue stream for KPFK was the Renaissance Fair. That started as a KPFK Pacifica production. It's now an internationally recognized multi-million dollar foundation business, yeah, for-profit business, and the son of the husband and wife that started the Renaissance Fair, I think in 1963 or four, can't remember which year exactly, but he came forward with the tapes that were broadcast live on KPFK, and said, "Hey, would you like to hold on to these?" And it's like, wow, Renaissance Fair is like, there's documentaries made on this subject matter, and these are the original KPFK broadcast tapes. So it's like, yes. So we still get valuable collections ingested into the archives, but as far as 24/7 recording, that never happened up until, you know, this current digitization. What would happen is if you recorded it on tape or cassette, you had to submit it to the archives in order for
us to have it. I think about 20 years ago, they threw a whole bunch of our cassettes into the dumpster, and one of the programmers retrieved some of it. Okay. So
Teresa, we're running out of time. Could I ask you to wrap up?
There is no plan for training anybody on how to index things with any consistency or any regularity.
Well,
right?
Hopefully our partnership with the USC Library Sciences Department will do. Mm-hmm. They have a whole department of library science students that will do that work for us. And so, you know, we don't have to do it ourselves, but we will direct them how to make the data entries consistent with our database on our website.
I apologize, Mark and Teresa, but we have to wrap this up now. We need to extend. I'm going to ask for one final extension for 5 minutes, and I'm also putting myself on the stack.
Kim to the stack.
Question: Is this motion to vote on the to vote on this on the budget, or is this going to be more talk time?
No, this is just we need an extension of 5 minutes now to get to the vote. Right. I'm asking for a 5 minute extension. Is there any objection?
I guess I object because, like, we're rushing this, don't have a chance, and you're expecting us to vote without full information. And I don't see anything like what just happened to the previous budget or other budgets happening with this one.
Well, Teresa, I will answer you and say that we scheduled 45 minutes for this. We've now had 45 minutes, more than 45 minutes on this, and perhaps a little less talk about what we remember when we were driving down the road about a wonderful program, and more talk about the budget itself, and we'd be in better shape. So, the question was, can we extend for 5 minutes? Is there any objection of extending for 5 minutes?
5 minutes to vote, right?
Well, let's say to clean up the stack and to vote. We got two people on the stack.
Well, then I'm not going to vote for the stack.
Well, then
unless you want to put something strict on the stack.
Yes, there's two people on the stack.
4%. If we don't,
we want to finish.
I won't get to vote.
All right, I want to finish the stack, which is myself and Kim, and then go to a vote.
Oh.
Any objection?
It doesn't pay to even object. You just
is there an objection, Teresa?
Object.
Is there? I don't hear an objection. So we're extended for 5 more minutes. Mark, I want to ask you a very specific question about your fundraising activities. And that has to do with the, I think, at least twice this year, twice in the recent period of time, maybe three times, we had fundraisers that I think were kind of billed as emergency fundraisers to help the archives make their payroll. And to do those fundraisers, we were using something, I think, called Voices That Change the World or something to that effect. And it's the same premium at a $250 price point that we've been using several times in trying to raise funds for the archives. And we seem to be reaching a point of diminishing returns with that. And it seems to be kind of counterproductive to have one premium at a price point of $250. Without, you know, how do you capture the $25 and the $50 and the $100 donations with that? So do you have any plans to expand the range of premiums? Mark? Hello, Mark? Fred, did we lose Mark?
No, everybody's there.
Christina for the stack.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Oh, that's okay.
I was going into the most wonderful explanation and nobody heard. It fell in deaf.
Always happens.
Okay, so we actually have two other versions of that with completely unique recordings. Like 2,000 other recordings, and we put it out there on various fund drives, and they just do not do well because, frankly, most of our marquee voices are on this first volume. And, we just don't have the staff to do a giant fund drive with a lot of different options. You know, we're not like a station with a host of, you know, hosts and volunteers to put together packages and be able to deliver those packages. So, you know, I really would like to focus on, you know, other revenue streams starting this year. And our best chance at bringing in money is finishing our digital streaming website. As Stephanie was mentioning earlier, I don't know if she mentioned the word streaming, but I would like to, you know, our idea with this website is to stream all of our programs. I'm an official vendor with the LA Unified School District. There's 600,000 students, and they will pay us $500 per 1,000 students, which is $300,000 a year, if we can get this digital website up and running. So that makes the archives sustainable immediately if we can get this streaming website up and running, because in the past we've offered thumb drives, we've offered CDs, and now all of the schools have rejected that as a medium to place in their schools. Students do not use those. So, as Stephanie said, she put a $25,000 line item. I'm hoping that my jet propulsion laboratory friend, Jim Engels, will do the website for his original price of $4,000. But I'm willing to go to $25,000 to make him do it and to encourage him and entice him to do it and complete it. Okay. He's already done two streaming websites, and he's the man that can do this fast and professionally, and ensure that there is an infrastructure that will allow us to expand that to our entire collection.
Thank you. Sorry to cut you off. Kim, I'm going to ask you to be very brief, if you would, please, so we can get to a motion and see where we're going to go. Go ahead, Kim.
I will be brief. I need to correct this story about the Renaissance Fair. KPFK did not start it. The Pattersons started it with a group of people in their neighborhood in Laurel Canyon. I knew those people, and they told me the story, and I have researched it further. The Pattersons and that group started the Renaissance Fair. They made a deal. They were big old lefties, you know, around, you know, in my neighborhood. And they made a deal with KPFK. If you promote it on the air, we will give you X amount or maybe all of the profits. But it was a chunk of money. Well, after a couple of years, KPFK decided they owned it, and they sued the Pattersons and the Renaissance Fair, and they lost. And they lost all of that revenue since then. That is the story, people. It's just another really sad story.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Kim. So now we need to let's go to Stephanie for a quick opinion on where we should, what she thinks we should be doing with this, and then have I'll make a motion for the sake of debate.
This is Christina. Hello. I had asked.
Yes, Christina.
Yes.
Christina, unfortunately, when we voted,
she did ask to be on the stack.
She may have, but when we voted to extend, we voted to extend for two people on the stack and to
Well, you're pushing this through really fast, so I object. I'm just going to state that. I don't have the financial.
Well, you can object. There's nothing on the floor to object at this point. If you want to ask for another 2 minutes so you can speak, go ahead.
Okay. I've heard very little about the finances of the.
No. Ask the body for two extra minutes to extend by 2 extra minutes so you can speak.
I moved the agenda. I won't get to vote at all if we don't move the agenda. Extending and extending and extending is not an option for me. You'll have to do it without my vote.
She does not have the floor. Christina has the floor.
She's calling for the orders of the day. She can get the floor that way. Either we make a motion to extend now, or we go away.
Go ahead, Arpo. Say it again, please.
Either we make a motion to extend now, or we just stop the whole damn thing. I mean, we're already 3 minutes past the extension.
So, Christina, what is your motion?
For 2 minutes.
So that you can speak and we can have a motion, correct?
That's my understanding.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Okay, Christina, go ahead.
I'll be brief. I just have I've heard a lot about the things, questions that were basically structural and in order, but not a lot about the finances, really. And I'm concerned that we're just pushing it through to keep the order of business going. And I don't really understand the financial underpinning of what's going on. So I have a problem with just pushing this and voting it. I don't have a problem with the archives themselves. They are a national treasure. But I'm concerned about just pushing through the finances without really talking about the finances as much as the structural order of the finances. So that's my concern. I'm just going to state it right now. And I'll be, like I said, I'll be brief, and that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. You kept your word. I appreciate that. Okay. Now, we need a motion. I'm going to make a motion that can be amended. I'm going to move that the NFC recommends that the PNB accept the budget, the FY24 draft budget from the Pacifica Radio Archives. That's the motion. It's open for discussion or amendment, but we have to be quick. Is there any discussion, any amendment?
Move the motion.
Here, say it again.
Can anyone hear me?
Please move the motion. Let's vote.
Okay, let's go to the vote, Arpaul.
Ask if there's objection.
Is there? I did. Is there any objection?
I object.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
there's
Teresa
an objection.
Allen objects.
Okay. So let's take a vote, Arpaul.
What are we voting on?
We're voting on the motion.
On the motion. Okay.
Recommending the archives budget to the PNB.
Okay. Thank you.
Recommending that they accept it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Arpaul.
Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt. Welcome back. Christina Huggins.
Abstain.
Kim Kaufman.
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden.
Yes.
Sean Kelly McPherson. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Going back, is Julie Hewitt here? No reply. Is Sean Kelly McPherson here? No reply. 5-4, one against, two abstentions.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Fred Blair, our streamer and our access provider. Thank you, Stephanie, for staying with us. Thank you, Mark Torres, for presenting. Thanks again to Ursula and Ruth for presenting earlier, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kamau.